everybody, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and joining me today is one of our very own, Wendy Sullivan. Wendy is a Senior Vice President of Virtual Compliance Officer Services at Compliance Alliance. With nearly 20 years in banking, she's worked with banks of all sizes to implement and audit compliance management systems. She holds an MBA, has her CIA and her CRCM certifications. She has a strong passion for supporting community banks and specializes in developing policies, navigating regulatory changes, and strengthening compliance through internal audit. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, Lindsay.
Yes, I am so excited you're here too. And I know our listeners are really going to benefit from this conversation we're about to have. But here at Banking Matters, we always like to hear how our guests got their first start in banking.
Well, I started in banking after a short stint at the state auditor's office as an auditor for a bank that was about $10 billion at the holding company level. And we had lots of community banks in our holding company. And that's really where I developed my passion for the little guys because they needed a little bit more, but things were a little bit more simple. And the culture in general at those smaller banks, really where I thrived. And so that's where I started in the dreaded audits department and then naturally progressed into compliance.
It's a wonder you have any friends. No, I'm just kidding.
I was a nice, kind auditor.
Yes. No, there are. And that's what I say that about me doing compliance. I'm a fun one. It's fine. Compliance can be fun. So today, though, we want to talk about the big, bad, essentially the big, bad, scary thing that's out there for us. So regulatory scrutiny. When you get that MRA, what is the first thing that a bank should do?
Well, don't freak out. Read it very, very closely. And, you know, back from my auditor brain, identify a root cause. Try to understand why that enforcement action is sitting on your desk now. Remember the conversations you had with that examiner while they were there. That this is not going to be a surprise to you as a banker. When you get the final, you've just been waiting for it. We'll often engage with banks that don't even have the formal enforcement in their hands yet. They had enough conversations to know they had a problem. It is often related to resources and education and things of that nature. And so the first thing to do is to make sure that you really understand what you're up against and try to find the reasons why so that you can start to think about a solution.
Awesome. And so what typically in your experience, I know you've worked with several banks that have had large enforcement actions placed against them and they've been able to kind of come out from under them. What should a bank expect in the process of relieving these enforcement actions?
A lot of work and a lot of communication. Communication is key. And often compliance officers will advise their banks to only provide the information that is requested very specifically. When it comes to enforcement actions or any type of regulatory scrutiny, be incredibly forthcoming. You don't want back and forth. You want to say, we developed this new process and it was approved by the board. Here's the new process in writing. Here are the minutes that support the presentation and approval by the board. And so it really allows them to do an analysis of the actions that were taken by the bank and not have to go back and forth and ask a lot of questions. We all see in the news that our exam teams are very, very stretched these days. So they are also operating on very limited resources. They're people. If we can make their lives easier, they are going to appreciate that. And you'll see that in the results and in the communication. So just be sure that you are incredibly forthcoming. Don't be confrontational. In all honesty, and as an auditor, saying I was the nice auditor, examiners just want to help too. I know that we have all encountered that examiner who maybe was seemed like they were out to get us. But overall, they really do want to help us be better bankers and better banks. And so if we can approach our interactions with the examiners in that way, it makes a huge difference in the time that it takes for them to feel comfortable clearing that regulatory scrutiny.
Absolutely. I've been on the either side where it has been extremely confrontational by the time I've come into the mix. And then I've seen it to where it's just been smooth, easy, breezy. But the examiners knew that this was an area that needed help. And they are very much, you get two different outcomes almost from those situations. So it does help to, and that's what I've always said, examiners are there to help us. And really, it's kind of a score of how well we are doing and where do we need to focus our attention on.
And so
specifically, what are, do you have any tips or tricks that have helped you kind of navigate things? Is there a specific way to spell things out that you've had best results with examiners? Or areas
in which you're focused? Every situation is very different. But the main thing is communication, like I mentioned previously, and just being able to document. And if enough time passes, which we've seen enough time pass on occasion, to even go so far as to showing that you have vetted all of those processes. Talking about engaging an audit firm to validate the changes that you put into place. Even going so far as to showing what training records are out there to prove that we did train our staff. You know, one thing we definitely don't want to get is the examiners to come and check and we didn't do what we said we were going to do. That's very upsetting. And that really will put a divide in your relationship with them, and they'll lose trust in the bank if you say you're going to do one thing and do another thing. So it's also very important that you make sure that your goals are attainable. So that is another thing to think about as far as timelines. Be realistic with your resources. Now, don't say it's going to take, you know, 5 years to accomplish an objective. But also don't say you're going to get something done in 30 days when you know that you're going to have to hire resources, engage with new vendors, implement new systems. So definitely make sure that you are taking into consideration how long it will actually take to successfully implement all of your changes. And then it's never a bad idea to just call them. Say, hey, I feel like this is going to be a good fix for our weakness here. However, it may take a while. Am I going too far? The whole enterprise-wide risk management system is something that a lot of community banks kind of cringe at because there's not the staff available to be able to launch some huge project like that. And if you talk with your examiner, they should be able to tell you what their expectation is. So if that is an expectation that you dedicate those kind of resources to your CMS, they'll be there to advise on that. So again, communication is one of the biggest tips and tricks. And then if you can have it audited, that is the best case scenario, so that they now have a third party that they can look to and say, oh, well, not only did the bank say they did this, but so did their auditor.
Absolutely. And so what, okay, when a bank is finally in the process of implementing these items internally, have you seen them create committees to handle these enforcement actions? Or I guess, does that depend on the bank structure?
Sometimes there are. We have seen specific groups of leadership start to meet on regular intervals just to make sure that we are staying on task. Depending on how complex and how many steps it takes, you know, our enforcement action may say the bank is expected to complete XYZ in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. I've seen some of those very lengthy enforcement actions provide lots of different deadlines. So creating a tracking matrix that allows you to meet those deadlines that are in there, but also in the more complex situations, create small tasks to hit your big task. And so that keeps you on track to hit your 120-day mark. If you can say, you know, next week we intend to create a policy. The following week we intend to create the training slides that we're going to present. So it's a lot about taking it in small bites. Like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? So That is how to tackle something of that nature if it's very complex. But it's also key to make sure you have all of the appropriate personnel in that conversation. So not just the key leaders of the bank, you need your doers. And that's something that, Lindsay, I'm sure that you'll agree, when we create our compliance committees at banks, you want your doers, not just the leaders. The leaders have a lot on their plates, and it's not that they don't need to be informed, but we need to be able to push action, and we need people that really understand the process to get that action accomplished. And so be very cognizant of who you put on that action committee.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely the buy-in from operation and those senior management that are actually still hands-on, that's made such a huge difference in the speed in which I have personally been able to watch enforcement actions be cleared up. One bank, they had a majority operations people, and they set up that task manager. They had everything. We broke it down into those small bites so that we could basically go through and say, check, check, check. And it does make a huge difference, because at the end of the day, an enforcement action is something that the bank has to work through. It's got to be acknowledged. And it is a tangible thing to tackle, no matter how large it is. And I do definitely agree, breaking it down has been what I have seen and what I've experienced, been one of the best things to go through, for sure. And then also you're making sure that you've covered everything that they've said, because they do put a lot in just a little bit of words too.
They definitely can, yes. And the root cause, as I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, is also very key, because unfortunately, sometimes we identify the root cause to be a cultural weakness, maybe in very high board management or something like that. And so it can take some time to overcome an enforcement action where the root cause is something of that nature. And that one's a little more tricky to tackle too. But just making sure that it doesn't happen again, like beyond implementing all the fixes, are the controls that you have to put into place so that you don't end up back here again. Because so many times leadership will say, oh, we're out of the clear. Like we don't have to see our examiners for another however many years, you know, and it doesn't mean we're done. It only means that we got to pass for a while. And if that weakness is identified again, well, it's not going to be good. So it's definitely important to keep your foot on the gas. Just because you've overcome the hurdle and it's been cleared doesn't mean that you're necessarily done. This is a new way of life now. You know, it's like they always talk about diet and exercise, right? It's like, oh, it's 2026 now. Like, it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle.
Absolutely. And I've also tried to incorporate the ongoing monitoring, usually on a quarterly basis, where we're circling back to these issues, especially if they're operational root causes that I can definitely, and it's more manual than, and it's something that maybe it's directly frontline's decision on how they interpret that. That's something that we've had to, just in our compliance management system, we maintain that look back every quarter to make sure that those things are still going on and that they have taken on and they still remember, oh, I've got to dig a little deeper. I can't just click this one thing and move on, or I don't have to double check that.
Yes, definitely. One positive symptom of the regulatory scrutiny, and when we say that, it can be anywhere from like a memorandum of understanding to a matter requiring attention to a formal agreement, you know, all the way runs the gamut. Usually what happens upon closure and the successful completion of one of those, the bank and the examiner get a lot closer. The number of times that I hear banks say, I called Paul or I called Brian and asked him before, or we identified this, the working relationship usually comes out stronger, which makes sense. Like anytime there are two parties that have to endure some turmoil together, because let's face it, it's not just the bank. The examiners hate this too. They sit in the board and they have to tell the board how their bank is still not fulfilling all their obligations. And the board gives them a hard time, or the meetings that I've seen, So the examiners don't like it either. They also have objectives they have to accomplish beyond just manning these enforcement actions. So they want us to get through it. And when you can successfully navigate, everyone's happy. You're friends now. Like, it is interesting how strong relationships grow after the war has ended.
Yes, for sure. And it does feel like that it is. And it is, I can't imagine being the one having to give continuous, essentially bad news of this still doesn't meet our standards. And it feels a bit like parenting, where you have to continue to hold these boundaries that these are the standards that we operate at. And quite frankly, you're just not meeting them still. And so, but we have gotten really good feedback in the in-between. When we thought that we had it all figured out, they've been very good at, hey, this is our first, we've said, this is our first draft. What do you think about this? And that has opened the door for some really good communications and given some different perspectives that maybe our group had overlooked. Like you said, the examiners really are very open and willing to communicate, and they do want the banks to succeed. I've definitely felt that and seen that too.
Certainly. It is a rough place to be in, but it happens to a lot of banks, and it's usually the symptom of not just regulatory change, but turnover and change in demographic product offerings. It's not something that happens in a day. It's usually something that happens over a year's worth of time. And because it's funny, an examiner is not going to catch everything. And sometimes I feel like we get lulled into this false sense of security that, oh, well, nothing's changed. We don't need to worry about these regulatory updates or whatever it might be, because our regulators were just here. Well, they were kind of looking at your clean bill of health. There's a time lag that maybe was given to you by your exam team. But it can take some time, and it can get pretty far off the tracks before your exam team really identifies a major weakness, because you're still, from a liquidity perspective, functioning just fine. So especially on that compliance side, it can grow into some huge enforcement very quickly. And so if you have that kind of communication with your examiner, though, it's much more comforting to know that you're on the same page. So if there are any questions, that's what they're there for. They want to talk to you. They'll note that in their files. The next time they come to see the bank, you know, they'll say, I got a call and I know that you guys are doing this. How's it going? They just really appreciate that.
For sure. And so I guess, do you have one piece of advice to kind of wrap up this to leave our listeners?
I would say communication. I know that's been like the resounding theme of our chat, but communication and a respectful understanding of the fact that this is their job and they really do just want to help, and trying to approach it from a non-confrontational perspective and being very forthcoming with all the information that you have available at the time of the conversation that you have with them. So I would say communication and just be friendly and be kind and be understanding. You know, they're people too. Like I said, no one loves to have to deal with enforcement actions. And so, just communication is really the theme there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Wendy. And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.